Okay, I would like to introduce the first speaker, Corey P. from Love and Action Group of NA in the Central Westmoreland area of NA.
Thanks, Sean.
Hi, Corey.
I'm Corey. I'm an addict.
Hey, Corey.
Hey, guys. First, I want to say I'm honored to be asked to speak at this retreat because, this was my first retreat ever coming to this one, and I felt so welcomed, and if I didn't feel welcome here, just like I felt welcome at what is now my home group, I probably wouldn't be here. So that's the first thing, that this unity retreat, feeling welcome is just, it's a wonderful thing that they do here. But so steps one, two, and three. Share on step one, and then maybe Kelsey can share on step one and go from there. But step one to me is powerlessness. If you want to sum it up in one word to me, and I have to think about like I was telling this gentleman, when it was about the drugs for me, when it was just about the drugs, when I came in here, because that's what I thought, it has to be just about the drugs. But now I use it in a lot of areas of my life, but that powerlessness, man, coming to terms with that, I remember the day. And I remember the day we talked about powerlessness and surrender, and I'm learning with all these principles that I'm going to talk about, there's always a deeper level. There's always the next level. So especially with surrender. But I remember the day that I felt like I finally surrendered, though, I was doing it a little bit before that, going into an outpatient, going into an inpatient. There's a little bit of surrenders. But when I finally figured out, it's that first one. I just can't do that first one. That's what it is. That's when I feel I surrendered to the addiction of drugs anyway. But, to see the problem too, step one also is a two-part to me. You gotta identify the problem, then you gotta admit the defeat of the problem. Okay? So identifying a problem took 22 years. That was the issue. Because, it just did. I'm a late comer, and I'm here, I'm 40 years old, and, that's the way it is. And I didn't really hear about NA or 12-step until, I didn't even try until I was, 37, sorry. To admit defeat, to first to see the problem. To see that problem, sometimes, I was so caught up in what I now know is a disease that I couldn't see the problem. Maybe you can identify. But, that disease thing, that, every time I'd be I just won't do it tomorrow. Or, I'm going to get married, and that's going to solve it. Then I just will slow down and won't do it. Just caught up in that. And that's, I heard this story that I really like. It's, I'll tell it real quick. It's about the guy. This guy has two horses, right? And he can't tell them apart. So he's like, well, I'll crop the one's tail. And that worked for a while, and then it grew back. He's like, okay, well, maybe I'll mark the hoof with the chalk. And that worked for a while, and the one walked through water, and the mark came off. So then he wrote this letter to the son, and he said, son, I finally figured out how to tell these two horses apart. He said, the white one's 4 inches bigger than the black one. He was so blinded by the problem. They couldn't see, you know what I mean? The truth. He couldn't see the truth. And that goes to the belief system, and that goes into step two. But, to me, step one, is, and I hear it said, and I get it, you have to do it 100% of the time. It's 100% all-in thing. The rest of the steps, I'm working them. And I don't think you have to be in 100%. You can work toward them because you have to live them, but this one you have to live 100% of the time, 100% all in. And some principles in it, the how, honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, and those are all through these first three steps. They're all through the steps, but like, when that day when I realized I couldn't do the first one, I got a little bit of willingness, and like I had willingness a lot throughout my addiction. It was that those nights that I said, "This is it, not tomorrow. I'm not doing it again." I was willing and honestly willing to give it up. But then the next day, maybe I would hold off till 10 a.m. or whatever, or noon if I slept in, whatever. But like, there's short windows of willingness. And like, I can recognize today, I feel that it was like God's grace that I had a bigger window. Or they call it the gift of desperation, which opened my window of willingness. Which also gave me some open-mindedness that day. And I've used these tools since that day, I feel like, to work the steps and to work my steps. But so it gave me that open-mindedness that, like, I can't fix it. I don't know. That was huge. I don't know. Just admitting that and being able to ask for help. And, like, that's a tool today that I'm so grateful for, that I can actually humble myself and ask for help. And I can't do it all the time, but, you know, to be able to even do it, because I don't know, like, and I don't feel like I need to know everything, which is a great feeling. Mm-hmm. There's so much information out there, and like, I know some things, and maybe my things I know can solve a fraction of my problems, but there ain't no way. I don't need to know everything, and I can ask for help today. But yeah, that was huge to say, I don't know, I can't fix it. Maybe I need to listen to somebody who knows how to live clean. That's powerlessness, man, to me. That was my first step, powerlessness, anyway. You know, and that does create some kind of void in us, that realization. For me, it did. But with that, I'm going to let Kelsey give her thoughts on step one.
Okay, I'm going to introduce the second speaker, Kelsey B. from Women in Recovery.
Hi, my name is Kelsey. I'm an addict. I also want to say that I feel really grateful to have been asked to speak here. I'm always nervous whenever I have to speak, but I'm one of those weird people that I love speaking. It's like one of my favorite things to do, so it's a huge honor for me. And this was also my first retreat 5 years ago, and I didn't stay clean from then on, but I remember coming here and like everybody hugging me, you know, and being like, welcome. And that was like such a big part of step one for me because of the we part of it, you know, like the very first word in that is like, you never have to be alone again, basically, you know. And like, I know I heard a lead last night, and the guy was saying that he used drugs to cope with life, and like, I could totally relate to that. Like, I didn't want to feel anything anymore. Like, I was just so sick of like constantly you know, worrying about like tomorrow and worrying about yesterday and right now, you know, and like just never able to like be present. And if I was present, I definitely wasn't grateful for it, you know. And I thought drugs would fix that for me. It did for a little bit, I guess, but not like the spiritual principles in these steps have. Not even close. My first rehab was in June of 2010. And that was like, I'd never heard of Narcotics Anonymous up until that point. So like whenever they took us to meetings and stuff, I was like amazed that there was a solution, you know, that there was like something that was going to be able to make things better, I guess. And they, you know, introduced the first step and talked about like surrender, which surrender for me is like, I mean, I guess it's very similar to powerlessness, like Corey was saying, pretty much the same thing, admitting powerlessness, but like, This book, The Living Clean, says that life is a process of progressive surrenders. And, like, also, like Corey was saying, I can really relate to that today. Because, like, I feel like whenever I first got here, that I did understand surrender to an extent. You know, like, I understood that I couldn't use drugs no matter what. So, like, I could, you know, surrender to that. But, like, the whole idea where I don't have power over, you know, you guys, or, like, my first thought, you know, or my feelings, or, you know, what the dude in the tent down there was doing, you know, like, I could not, like, wrap my mind around that. I thought I had power over all of this shit, you know, and, like, so I carried around a lot of guilt for a long time because of that, and luckily, you know, I've had some good sponsors along the way and been in some good meetings along the way that I've heard the solution shared over and over and over again that, like, I don't actually have control over any of those things, and, like, what a freeing feeling that is. So whenever I was in my first rehab, and I thought, like, I was like one of those people that was like, I get it, you know, like it all makes sense now. And I was like, you know, the awesome rehabber, because, like, I either had to be the best or the worst, and, like, the worst person was already there. So, like, I might as well be the best, you know? And I, like, all the techs, like, loved me, you know, and, like, I always went to meetings, and I always did my chores, and, like, I don't know, like, I was probably really annoying for everybody else, but I used while I was there. Like, that's the crazy part. And I, like, I've heard a lot of people sharing about, like, using against their will, and I didn't think that I could relate to that, until, like, looking back and remembering, like, I was in rehab, like, loving it, you know? I mean, in the beginning, obviously, I was sick and stuff, but, like, after all of that, like, I enjoyed it, you know? And, like, wanted to be clean, like, more than anything. But whenever some girl was like, hey, like, let's cheek your meds and then, like, take them all at once, you know? They're instant yes. Okay, absolutely. You know, like, there was no second thought about it. And it was, like 5 days in a row that I could, so it wasn't even like an instant, like, I'm just gonna do it right now. Like, the decision was made instantly, and no matter what else was going on or what we talked about during those days or, like, what amount of surrender I thought I knew, like, or honesty even, you know, like, I was still doing that and then, like, using. And then I got out and was like, oh yeah, I've been clean for this long, you know. And sorry, I lost my train of thought. What time is this, by the way? Okay. So I talked about that. Okay, so then, like, I ended up going to a meeting because I came to this retreat then, and, like, you know, I shared, like, all weekend that weekend about how, like, I wanted to use, and, like, I didn't know what to do about it and all this stuff, and everybody was like, it's okay, like, just don't use this weekend, like, just don't, you know, and then, like, hopefully whenever Monday comes, you won't want to use again. Well, I didn't use that weekend, but as soon as Monday came around, I got high. And then December 2nd of 2010, which is my clean date today, I went to rehab again, and I was, like, not necessarily working step one, like, on purpose, I guess, if that makes sense. Like, I wasn't, like, you know, in the literature and digging deep and, like, talking to my sponsor about it and all that stuff, but I was, like, kind of subconsciously getting somewhat of an understanding of it. And, like, realizing, like, I need to be honest about stuff. I need to, like, surrender for real this time. And then acceptance is another big part of step one for me. And whenever I had, like, 3 or 4 months clean. I think it was, like, 3. And my mom passed away. She overdosed. And my sister and I found her. And, like, it was, I don't know how I didn't use. You know, like, I really don't. Like, people ask me, and, like, the only thing that I can come back to, because I really wasn't working a good program, you know, like, I was going to meetings every day, you know, and I was, like, hanging out with people in recovery every day, but, like, that was it, you know, and, like, looking back on it, I think it was the we part of it, like I said before, like, because as soon as that happened, my sponsor at the time was with us, thank goodness, and I, like, you know, called 911 and all that, but immediately my second phone call was to somebody in the program, and I was like, listen, like, I'm not going to be at the meeting tonight, and this is why, you know, and she's like, well, of course not, you know, and, like, her and another guy from the fellowship were there before the ambulance even got there, like, and then, like, the rest of the meeting came, you know, and, like, we had coffee and talked all night long, you know, and they were there, like, there was constantly somebody with us until, like, the funeral and everything, and, like, that was a big part of step one for me, too, and I always like to read this, Saw the Living Clean. It says, the grief process forces us to make peace with unanswered questions, and in that way, it is a gift, and, like, sometimes I believe that, and sometimes I don't, you know, like, because, like, no matter what, the grief process is painful, and, like, sometimes I feel really crazy, and sometimes I feel like I have my shit together. It just depends on, like, the day or the moment. But I do, like, really appreciate, like, all this stuff that I've had to go through up to this point, because, like, I was forced to practice acceptance, I guess. Like, acceptance or use. And to me, using is death. So, like, acceptance or die, you know. And that's all I have on one.
All right. Well, I guess I'll start with two.
No, sorry.
No, I'm good. No, that's what I said. We'll go back and forth. That's cool. All right, so I really like how Kelsey brought up acceptance, and, of course, it made me think of the Serenity Prayer. And, you know, and I started using that right off the bat. And it took a while to realize, though, like, to me, everything can be put on one side or the other. You know, accept the things I cannot change. Courage, change things I can. One side or the other. The problem is the wisdom. That's the issue. And, you know, that's where step two starts coming in for me. Because my wisdom got me 22 years of using in desperation and an unmanageable life. And that part was easy for me to see back in. I didn't even touch on the unmanageability, because that was just the easy part for me. It was the powerlessness and the, and, you know, recognizing the problem and everything was the thing. But, yeah, so for step two, like, you know, it tells us we need to make a decision to believe. It's belief. It's about a belief. And, like, you know, everybody's concept of what they believe in is just like their fingerprint. It's going to be different in some way. So I had to find mine. And I had to do some footwork to do it. And because that's just where I was. Like, you know, I knew, here's where I was. I knew there was a God and I wasn't him. That's where I was. I was one of those people. But, like, I needed some belief, man. So, like, I started talking to people. And, you know, I started doing some research, basically. And doing a concept of a God of my understanding. And I love that about this program. NA doesn't tell me I have to believe in NA's God, or your God, or his God, or her God. It's the God of my understanding. And when I got to come to terms with that, then, like, I was able to believe. And to me, I should say, like, belief and faith, to me, are totally different terms. I believe in a lot of things. But to have faith, when I say I have faith in something, that means a lot more to me. Like, I have to, like, first of all, I have to have some willingness, right? And then I can have a belief and make a decision. And then I can do some action, like the research and whatever. And see some results, and then I have faith. It's a little bit easier today than it was then to get to that faith and certain things, but that's how it was for me to get this first step too. It's like I had to go through this process, and it was a process to get to some faith. And to get to a relationship with a God of my understanding. And like that changes, and that's great. Like, I don't mind that one bit. It's different, way different than when I came in. And like, I realized that like I couldn't have, when I came in, I couldn't be where I'm at now. I had to be there. And where I was there was a lot of leaning on my sponsor, people in the rooms, a concept, some kind of concept of God, but it was very murky. But it was leaning on people too, and which was huge. So to me, like, and belief is like strong for me today. It's like a strong, it's a force that like I think I can use against me or for me or against me, because I can get stuck in that belief of self pity too, and that, you know what that does? It gives me more self pity. So belief's strong, and I think it's always there. It's just how I want to apply it. For step two for me, like coming to believe, it's a lifelong process, I feel. You know, because my relationship, I hope it's always going to be evolving with God. And if it gets stagnant, I might worry a little bit. So... it took a little bit, but I did lean on people a lot, and I talked to my sponsor, and I talked to some other people, and took bits of this and bits of that, and then I hear it talked about a lot, it's the hope, it gives you the hope, and it really does. When you finally get that belief in there, after you have that willingness to like try something different, because in step one you say I can't fix it, you release that old belief system of, you know, and you get this new belief, well, there's hope. And that came a lot from the people in the rooms, a huge amount from people in the rooms, especially at first, that hope, that belief that hey, there is another way to live. So, I think that's really all I want to say about step two. Maybe I'll get back to them. Go ahead.
Thanks, Corey. Hi, my name's Kelsey Manadic. Step two was really hard for me. I didn't like it. I remember like telling my sponsor, like, there's no way that I'm going to ever believe in God, and like all this stuff. And she was like, oh, well, that's great, because step two says nothing about God, so, like, it's fine, you know, we'll worry about that when we get to three. And I remember, like, hating her for that, you know. And she's like, it talks about a power greater than yourself, you know, it doesn't need to be, you know, God or even higher power. And so, like, I was one of those people that had to come to believe, like, in you guys first, you know, and then, like, the literature was a huge power greater than myself. That's why all my books are like all highlighted and like underlined, and there's notes on the side of everything, like, this is you, you know, and like all this stuff, because I really didn't know, like, when I got here I was 18 years old, like I was literally a child, you know, like I didn't know like how to live. I had no coping skills, like maybe a couple from rehab, but like I wasn't great at using them yet, you know, like I just knew that they existed, not like which ones worked for me and stuff, and like, bless you. And so like the literature became a huge part of my recovery, and like I'm working my second step right now also, and it's like totally different this time around. Like, you know, the first time that I was working, a lot of it was like, you know, the insanity of the drug addiction, because I didn't know anything other than that, you know, like I really thought when I got here that like, oh, okay, now everything's just going to be better. You know, like, now that I'm not using drugs anymore, like, I'm going to be great. Like, I'll just have my shit together and everything's going to be perfect, you know? And, like, as long as I work these steps and I, you know, follow directions, it'll be fine. And I was so wrong, you know? Me and Sean talk about this, like, we've talked about it a couple of times lately, about how, like, when I had a year clean, I thought I was on top of the world. Like, I really thought that, like, I knew everything and, like, life was just going to be grand and I was going to handle everything, like, with grace, you know? And, like, and then, like, 6 months later, I was at a retreat and I punched my friend in the face at the retreat, you know? Like, you want to talk about insanity, you know? Oh my gosh. And I remember, like, when that happened, I called my sponsor and I was like, this recovery crap, like, obviously doesn't work for me because, like, I'm still punching people, you know? And, like, all this stuff. And she was like, no, I think it's working for you. I don't think you're working for it, you know? Like, work for it, you know? And, so that was, like, a huge eye-opener for me that, like, no, I'm not going to be perfect, you know? And, like, no, it's not okay to punch people. Like, I don't think that at all. Since then, I haven't laid my hands on anybody. But, like, it's okay to, like, I don't have to hate myself because of stuff like that today, you know? Like, because that's another part of the insanity. Like, Corey was talking about getting into the self-pity, you know? Because then, like, after I did that, I was like, oh, I'm this horrible person, and, like, I'm never going to get better, and, like, it's all, like, and then it turns into, like, oh, it's because of the way I was raised, because, you know, it can't be my fault, you know? Like, it's nothing's ever, I'm not going to be able to get better from this because, like, my parents did this, this, and this to me, and then I get caught up in that, and then, like, the grief thing, you know, like, getting caught up in, like, oh, poor me, because, like, my parents weren't there. It was just craziness. But it was perfect timing to work on step two, you know, and that's, like, it's funny how my higher power, like, puts situations in my life, like, at the perfect time for me to work the step that I'm working on at that time, you know. And now, like, you want to talk about insanity, let's talk about, like, pregnancy hormones real quick, you know. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And, like, and then, like, I'm like 7 weeks away from having a baby, and everybody's like, yeah, well, and then, like, all those hormones are going to rush right out of you with the baby, and I'm like, oh my God, like, how am I going to function, you know? Like, if anybody's going to have postpartum depression, hello, like, it's me, you know? Like, oh my gosh. But, like, because, and I think, like, it's a healthy fear, you know, today, and I know, like, you know, they say that faith and fear can't be in the same place, but, like, I don't know, I'm grateful that, like, the fear did come of, like, the postpartum depression and, like, childbirth and all that stuff, because, like, then I started researching, like, different things to be able to help me with that, like, lemon's awesome and lavender and, like, it's going to weird out the guys, but, like, eating your placenta, you know, and, like, all this stuff, you can put it, you can take it in pill form, okay, like, I don't have to, like, crunch it up for dinner or anything. But because, like, I recognized that there was a problem, you know, and then, like, searched for a solution, I don't know that I necessarily found the one that I need yet, but, like, I'm in the process of looking for a solution rather than being like, oh my God, everything's going to be terrible and I'm going to be crazy and I don't know how I'm going to function, I'm going to have a baby, and, like, da 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 da, you know, like, how beautiful is it also that, like, God, higher power, like, blessed us with a child whenever, A, I'm capable of thinking like that rather than, like, sitting in self-pity and fear and all that stuff, and, like, that I'm not using, you know? Because, like, oh my gosh, I can't even imagine, like, those of you that have done it, like, I don't know that I could have a child in active addiction. Like, I just don't know that I'm cut out for something like that. Like, I can't. That, like, blows my mind. That would be so hard and terrifying. And, like, how absolutely beautiful is it today that I can, like, recognize that you know, like insanity could be in my future or like could be here today, and I find a solution before the problem even actually like gets here. And it's because of like you guys sharing with me and like all the women that I have today, you know, because like 2 years ago, like I didn't want shit to do with women in recovery, you know, like I was like, oh, girls are mean and like I don't get along with chicks, blah, 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 you know, and like always hanging out with the dudes or whatever. And it's like today my home group is women in recovery in Greensburg, you know, like. I love women today, like, you guys here, the women that are here, I'm sure have noticed, like, you're the ones I'm making eye contact with, you know, like, you're the ones I'm comfortable talking with today, like, how absolutely beautiful that is, and I, like, believe it's a big part of step two, you know, like, letting go of the craziness. Okay.
Thanks, Phil.
Thanks,
Phil. Thanks, Phil. I'm an addict.
I think it's important that I like mention that like I'm under no delusion that like I work these steps and I'm done. Obviously, like step one, step two, step three, like because we're talking about insanity, and I just like I cause insanity clean. I do. We talk about spiritual progress, not perfection. Thank God, because if I had to have spiritual perfection, I'd be back out there. But yeah, like, you know, I've caused insanity, you know, 7 months clean, you know, 2 years clean. It just happens. And like, I need to live these steps and the principles in them. And I'm under no delusion of that, like that I got to continuously do this stuff. So, especially now, we'll talk about step three, turning my will over to a God of my understanding, making a decision to turn my will over. And I think that's an important part of this because there's a decision and then there's the action to me. Like, so for step three, like, I had to come to realize there's like, well, if I have self-will, what other will is there? There's human will. Well, there's God's will. Okay, there's two wills. All right, so, like, what's my self-will getting me? It was getting me a lot of punishment is what it was getting me. And, like, and I'm not one of those people that thinks, like, we don't need any self-will. I just don't. I think, like, to me, like, some self-will, it motivates us. Some self-will, we need to survive, the survival. But like, it's the self-will run riot they talk about. It's the misuse, the abuse, that. So, to me, like, well, I had to realize, like, I can't stop self-will with self-will. Like, the only thing that'll combat self-will is searching for God's will. And that's what I do. And I'm better at it at times than others, but like I can turn it over to them, and I learned how to do that. But like just making a decision to me, and that's how it started. That was the beginning, just making that decision to do it, and that's what it talks about in step three. But I think it's like it was so important to follow it up with some action, like to try to live that way, and I say try, because again, to me, you know, they talk about practice these principles, and I'm getting in touch with that I'm practicing them in all my affairs, trying to practice them in all my affairs, but like. I don't know the whole like making it, and I read this and I thought this was kind of cool, like what's making a decision? Well, like, you know, that comes from your thoughts. Like, I think, you know, you think about the decision, and then, you know, that's maybe your will, your thoughts, and there's also the action part. So you want to turn your thinking and your actions over both. But I was reading this, like, okay, there's three frogs on a log, right? And one of them decided to jump into the pond. How many frogs are there? three. There's still three there because he only made the decision to do it. He didn't actually leave. So I thought that was kind of cool. I'm like, yeah, like I get that. Because to me, that's what it's all about, is living a different way and trying to live a different way for step three. But, yeah, and like that whole thinking and changing my thinking thing, and like the believing, I'm going to go back a little bit to believing, like airplanes amaze me. Let's start there. Airplanes freaking amaze me. Being on airplanes, the fact that we can fly, we can go to different countries, it just amazes me when I'm on one. It just does. My wife gets scared crap and shit. I'm just amazed by the whole thing. And like, to think that somebody had to believe that they could do that before they did it. So that's, to me, where step two and step three kind of go. Like, I had to believe, and then I could, like, start taking that the action steps to do it after finding my God and my understanding. But, yeah, I mean, that's just now I jump out of airplanes. So. But, like, it amazes me, like, stuff like that. And I can appreciate stuff like that today because I have a God understanding in my life. And a lot of times, my God will speak through me through other people. And I've had to learn that. Like, you never know when that message is going to come through. Just the other day, I just have to, you know, and I shared this with my sponsor and maybe some other people. Like, I've been feeling like less spiritual in the past couple weeks. It started to get a little painful, right? Just the other day, I'm in the gym, and a guy who is 80 years old comes up to me and starts talking to me. And, you know, we're talking about exercise, and then the conversation goes to God. And some of the things he said to me was just, like, jaw-dropping. And, like, I had to be open-minded and willing, but, like, that message came out of nowhere. And it just amazed me. So we ended up talking for about half an hour or something. I didn't get much working out then. But it was what I needed. It was what I needed when I needed it. And I have to be, like, aware of that stuff and open-minded to it. You know, I don't know. Like, all these ones, two, and three, like, we talk about a set of principles, and there's principles throughout them all. And, like, I don't think just one principle is going to do it. Like, I think they all complement each other and work together. And, you know, and part of that action for me was going on out of step three and moving on and trusting this process. Like, to me, that was part of that action, like, of believing in the God of my understanding and, like, believing in this process and having that courage and strength to keep going on. I'm going to stop there. Maybe we can add some at the end. Thanks. I'll let Kelsey share it.
Hi, my name's Kelsey. I'm another.
Kelsey.
I remember I was at my first home group, and this one guy there was always like, every time that he would bring up a topic, if he was chairing or whatever, he'd be like, "Oh, I want to hear what Kelsey has to say on this topic," and he'd be like, just always like acting like I really had my shit together, you know? And then like, the one day, we were talking after a meeting, and he was like, "Yeah, like, you're just so spiritual, and, like, I feel like you're one of those people that's just, like, really close to God." And I was like, "Dude, I don't even have a God of my understanding. Like, I really don't, you know?" And his jaw dropped, and he was like, "What?" Like, he was like, and we had a discussion about it, and he was, like, amazed that somebody could stay clean without, like, being a Christian. Like, that was, like, one of, like, the necessary things that you had to have to, like, not use drugs, you know? And it, like, made me think about, like, how close-minded, because, like, and, you know, immediately I'm like, "Oh, you're close-minded as shit," like, you know? But, like, it made me think about how I'm also the close-minded one thinking, like, that I don't need something bigger than me, you know what I mean? That I don't need some God of my understanding. And whenever I got to the third step, like, I was like, can I work this without, like, you know, having a God of my understanding? And they're like, well, doesn't it say, like, God as you understand him? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, no, you have to find something. Like, I don't care what it is, figure it out, you know? And I started, like, digging deep and looking into, like, I looked into Buddhism for a long time. I was, like, really big into that. And it was helpful because, like, and some other, you know, I was looking into all kinds of different places. But, like, everywhere that I looked, it was always, like, the same message. Like, if you know, be a good human being, basically. You know, like, if you're not going to help somebody, at least don't hurt them. Was, like, what I kept finding, pretty much. And I like that. Like, that... I like an open-ended, like, you know, because feel free to, like, fill in the gaps wherever you want in your belief system or, like, how you want to respond to situations and stuff. Like, I don't like really strict stuff. I grew up with a really strict religion, and I wasn't a huge fan of it. And, like, so I like that, where it's like, okay, so basically, like, don't hurt other people today. And, like, here are some guidelines if you want to use them. If not, like, come see us tomorrow because you're going to feel shitty, you know? So I, like, went... I know, like, first was I came to believe in, like, energy, like, positive energy. Like, it, you know, we're all connected. And I think, yeah, one of the speakers last night was talking about that, too, like, feeling, like, without getting, like, too deep into everything, feeling like we're all connected, and I truly do feel that way. Like, I've had so many spiritual experiences with the steps, and like even outside of recovery, well, not necessarily outside recovery, but like with like normal people too, you know, that like how, I mean, I can't, no part of me can believe that like we're not all connected with the way that things have worked out in my life. And so, like, came to believe in energy and, like, well, and it was, like, the literature and then energy and then, like, us as a, like, collective, I guess. And I did today, like, I am a Christian, and that's just, like, as of the last couple months. Not that that necessarily means anything. It's just part of my story. But... whenever, when I was like trying, I think, too hard in the beginning with the third step and like just trying to like force myself to turn my will over, I guess. And like Corey said, like, it just says that we made a decision, you know? And, I was working at a rehab and I was like constantly looking for like new things to bring up to the clients to talk about this because they always hated talking about the third step. It always turned into a fight or like some kind of craziness. And I found this, I guess like little fable, and it said that there's a guy and, you know, he was a drug addict and he like cried out to God and was like, God, like, please make me not be a drug addict anymore. And God was like, okay, like, I can do that, but, like, I'm going to need your car keys. You have to give me your car. And the guy was like, okay, but then how am I going to get to work? And then God was like, oh, you have a job? Like, I'll take that, too. He was like, God, how am I going to provide for my family? Like, I have a house, I have house payment, like, all this stuff. What do you mean? And he was like, oh, you have a house? I'll take that, too. And as for the family, like, they're mine, too. And this dude is just, like, you know, at a loss for words. Like, what am I going to do? And God was like, okay, listen, like, I will, you can be clean, and you can have your family and all this stuff back as long as you realize that it's my car that you're driving back and forth to working for me, and then it's my family, and I guess I'll trust you to take care of them, you know? And I thought that was just so awesome, like, what a great way to put it, like, because... the way that my ego works is, like, all this shit's mine, and, like, you can't have it, you know? When really, like, no, not how it works at all, you know, like it's not all mine. And whenever I start acting like it's all mine is when I start losing it, you know, in recovery too, like not just whenever I'm using drugs. And so the first time that I was like really trying to work the third step, now this story is kind of embarrassing, but like I said, I was trying to like force it really hard and couldn't get it. And one day my friend, who was in recovery, we got into the rooms around the same time. He like sat me down and was like, listen, like I'm moving away to college. I'm going to Philly. So like, you know, you're not going to see me for a while. And I was like, what? Like freaking out. Like, how am I going to live without this person? You know? And I was like, he's going to get high and like all this stuff. And like, he was leaving in like a couple days because he knew I'd try to talk him out of it, you know, so he didn't tell me that he'd even applied. Like it was like a couple days before he was leaving. He's like, okay, see you later. And so I was like losing my mind, like of course, you know, obsessing about like how am I gonna keep him clean 4 hours away, like I'm the one keeping him clean, you know, like all this stuff. And then we left, you know, at the end of the night, like, we left Eaton Park, and I was like, okay, well, you know, like, I love you, and, like, I hope that, like, everything works out. And he's like, thank you, you know, like, I thanks so much, because, like, I wasn't trying to control him, you know, or, like, the situation. And I got in my car and was driving home, and I had just gotten the car that I had, and all of a sudden, I had to pee really bad, and, I was like driving down the road and holding it, and like it got to the point, it was like I felt like I was gonna pee myself, and I was like, God, please don't let me pee in my new car. And like I like said that I didn't believe in God, you know, but like that's where my mind went whenever I needed something, was to God. So like a minute later I like swerved because I had to go really bad, and it was like I was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm going to wreck my car, you know? So I was like, I would rather pee in my car than wreck it. So I was like, okay, letting it go, you know, surrendering. I stopped holding it and nothing came out. Like, I did not pee. And I'm like, what the F is going on here? So I like, and I like even turned the music down, you know? I was like expecting to like hear God's voice or something, you know? I was like, since when does God care if I piss in my car? You know, like, I don't feel like that's a big deal. So then, but I, it, you know, the urge to pee left me, you know. So then I got home, and as soon as I got out of the car, I peed. Like, in my pants, whole bit. Like, stream of piss running down my driveway. And that day God did not let me pee in my new car. And like that was like such, and I know it sounds ridiculous, but like that's what made me realize, like, oh my gosh, that's how simple it is. Like all I have to do is make the decision to turn it over, and then he'll take care of the rest, you know? And like I didn't understand it until that point. Like, that's how my higher power has to talk to me, you know, through, like, making me piss my pants. Like, I don't know. But it worked, you know, and, like, from that day on, like, I've had faith, and, like, real faith. Like, I don't know. Like, I get so nervous before speaking anywhere, let alone at a retreat, you know, and, like, my first thought today is to pray and ask God to speak through me rather than, you know, letting me spew my garbage. And, like, I don't know, that is such a freeing and beautiful thing for me, because for a long time, like, I never thought that I would ever have any idea or any belief in anything bigger than me at all. And today it's, like, one of the first things I think of, you know. And, like, I think that that's because of working one, you know, and getting to the understanding that, like, I can't do this shit by myself, you know, and then, like, working two, that I'm insane, that's what it implies, and then getting to three and realizing, like, you know, an even deeper surrender this time to where, like, I actually rely on a higher power. And, like, how beautiful would it be? I always share this whenever the third step gets brought up. Like, I would love to be able to work a perfect third step, because then I'd never have to work a six and seven step, you know? Like, six and seven kicked my freaking ass so bad. I'm hoping that it's easier this time around. But it was rough. 4 was like awesome. I had no problem with 4. But and like, how cool would it be to have like, for like, all rather than my first thought whenever I'm scared, to be like, oh, I'm gonna, cause like really for me, whenever I'm in fear, my first instinct is to like throw up a big wall and then like attack, you know, because like I'm not gonna let you attack me first, and like rather than like, I think that I'm in defense mode, but really I'm in attack mode, because like nobody's attacking me, it's me attacking me, you know. And like, how beautiful would it be if like, rather than that, my first thought would be like, I'm just gonna pray about it, you know. Like, instead, unfortunately, a lot of times it's after the wall's already half built, after I already owe like 3 amends, then I'm like, oh wait, this is on me, you know. So like, I'm gonna read this one thing out of the Living Clean. I always read it whenever I share at the end, because it's like my hope for myself for the future, and like, you know, maybe somebody will take something from it. So it's talking about conscious contact, so maybe more like about 11 than it is 3, but there's definitely step 3 in it too. A member shared, in early recovery, my prayers were sporadic acts of desperation and surrender. I learned prayer as a way to practice conscious contact. Now I find if I can remember my higher power in the moment, my life becomes a prayer, my wisdom is activated in meditation, and I exist within the will of my higher power. I am spiritually free, the farthest from active addiction and the closest to the pure joy of existence in the moment. And like, how awesome would it be to have that 24/7, you know? Because like, I do have it sometimes, you know, whenever God graces me with it. Whenever my higher power is like, okay, here you go. I'll just take away that defect of character and put in a spiritual principle, you know? Because like, honestly, most of the time, like, my defects of character are in there, like, chirping away like crazy, and I just have to, like, try not to act on them, try not to let them become, shortcomings. Like, but 9 times out of 10, like, they're still there, alive and well, you know? So, like, it would just be so awesome to be able to be spiritually free and the farthest from active addiction and the closest to pure joy of existence in the moment all the time. Like, how beautiful of a world this would be if we could all do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelsey.
I just want to wrap up real quick. But because Kelsey made me think of some things, of course. I like this back and forth. Yeah. About the spiritual. Like, you know, we're told we have a mental, physical, spiritual disease, you know, the mental obsession, the physical compulsion, the spiritual self-centeredness. And like, when I talk about like not feeling spiritual, that's like spiritual sickness, because like in the end, to me, it's always about the drugs, because that's where it's going to lead me. But like right now, for me, it's about the behaviors that are going to lead me there, and the defects and all and so forth. So like, when I'm feeling spiritually sick and I'm feeling like that's me being blocked from God. That's the fear, that's the resentment, that's the anger, that's the guilt. And like, that's when I need to really get back into these steps, get back to my sponsor, get back into this program. Thanks, Kelsey, because you said a lot of good things. But my reward from it, I want to say this, like, when I am in touch with God, when I am, like, the rewards are, that I found are harmony. Being in harmony with people, and like, my sponsor talks about that a lot. You know, find some happiness, find some contentment, and like, a lot of times for me, that's through service and stuff I found. But that's all I have.
Thanks, Corey.
Okay, I'd like to thank Corey and Kelsey for sharing their experience, strength, and hope. And someone please reach us for today.